Suppose someone were to say to us or ask, has God called you? What would we say? Well, if we are familiar with the scriptures, we should say, yes, God has called me. When we think about who Christians are, we find they are people who have been called by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul said that each person who is a Christian has been called by God. The word call helps show that salvation is open and available to each person. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul spoke about people who had been called by God while they were in a state of uncircumcision. He said there were others who were called by God when they were in a state of circumcision, verse 18. He says in this chapter, verse 21, there were some people who were called by God when they were slaves. And then he says in verse 2, there were some others who were free, they were not slaves, and God called them. So the verses that have been cited from 1 Corinthians 7 suggest an important point about God's calling. How many times have we had someone say to us, I need to either come to God or I need to come back to God? And people tell us when they get their life straight, then they will come back and return to God. But that's not consistent with what we find in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 7, we find that God didn't wait to call the slaves until they found their freedom. Now, that would be the way that most would think. Well, you get that straightened out and you're no longer a slave and God will call you. He'll be able to use you. He didn't tell the uncircumcised to wait until they got circumcised and then initiate a call. The Bible says, rather in Hebrews 3, verse 7, that if today we will hear his voice, we need to respond. God issued an immediate and unmistakable call to each person, and many of the Corinthians responded. No matter who we are or what our situation is, God calls us even now and encourages us to come. I'm going to mainly cite passages this morning and not read them, just for the nature of this lesson. Excuse me. And the next one is found in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Here we find that Paul says God calls us to his grace. God issues a worldwide call to people so they can enjoy what he has to offer. We're called to God's grace because God is a gracious God. God deeply loves the people of this world. He loves them so much he sent his son to the world on their behalf. And now the Bible says in Galatians 1, verse 6, he calls us into his grace. Galatians 1, 15 as well, he calls us to every single spiritual blessing. One of the blessings that God has for his people is found also in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. Here we are told that God calls us to freedom. At the present time, our nation is fighting a war in the name of freedom. I, perhaps like some of you, saw some of the news last night, and it was a very sad day. Corpses have been found. People were shot in the head. It's believed that other horrible atrocities were committed against what we are assuming would be former citizens of Iraq. Our nation has been, for some time trying to call others to help in the war and bring a nation of people to freedom. Not everyone at the present time believes that this call is right. There are some people who say we should not be over there. Well, whatever view you have of that really doesn't matter, because the Bible talks about a kind of freedom, a type of freedom which is unquestionably right and desirable. The freedom by God, the freedom offered by him, is lasting, and it is the best kind of freedom. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says Christians are called to freedom. Grace and freedom are good and desirable, but the Bible says concerning the call that God issues to people, the blessings that result from the call extend far beyond these. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says we are called to hope. There are some who live their lives searching for hope. There are people who really want hope. God says that hope exists, the best kind of hope exists, and it can be attained. It not only can be attained, it can be enjoyed by each person. God actually calls the people who are willing to listen to come and take the hope that he offers. The call that is sent out to the world by God is filled with the richest kind of blessings. And if it ended with what we have listed thus far, it would be a great call. But God calls on us to accept some other things as well. God calls us, according to Colossians 3 and verse 15, into one body. That is, God does not call us into any old religious group. He is concerned about where we are. He's concerned about our spiritual health. And the Bible says he has created especially for us one religious body. And he does not recommend, he does not suggest, he does not highly favor our being members of this body. But this is the place where we need to be. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 that the church is his body. This church is headed by Christ. It is, as we noted, the Lord's body. And since Christians are called into this one body, we're actually called into Christ's body. This means we're called into the most personal kind of fellowship with the Lord. God calls us into the most important institution ever known to mankind. There's some places where people would like to be welcomed into. There were people who would like to be invited to join or participate in a certain organization. But the Bible says that God calls us to the most important organization which exists. When we accept the call to enter into Jesus' body, we accept a magnificent gift. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that God calls us to eternal life. Now that's an interesting thought. Not just life. And not just any kind of life, but the Bible says eternal life. Well, what does this expression involve? If God calls us to eternal life, what does that mean? Well, Hebrews 9:15 says that those who accept the call to life receive an inheritance which is eternal. In other words, God calls us to have the best kind of life here and now on the earth and in the world to come. Some used to wear T-shirts which say, "The one who has the most toys wins." I never owned that shirt, but I would propose for your consideration that the Christian has the most toys. In fact, the world does not have room enough to store what God has planned for his people. God calls us to an inheritance which is so vast, so immense, so spectacular, the Bible says it is suitable, it is fit for his son. And in 1 Peter 5:10, the Bible adds that God calls his people to eternal glory. That's an interesting thought as well. There are people who at different times in life receive some level of glory, some amount of attention. But almost no one, as they go from their life, from birth to death, receives an entire lifetime of glory. But for the Christian, God says, "I am calling you to a lifetime of eternal glory." So what God calls people to is beyond their wildest imagination. The promise is so great, it's described in other terms in the book of 1 John. We find in 1 John 3, verse 1, that the person who becomes a Christian is called to become an actual child of God. And that's impressive. If we as parents know how to give good gifts to our children, what about God? If we can give good gifts to others with limited resources, what can the Creator of all do after he calls us? We know of cases where children are not loved by their parents, they're not tended to, they're not given what they need. But those who are children of God have no worry in this area. Jude verse 1 says, "Christians are beloved," and the death of Christ shows that the people that God calls are so close to them, him, he'll give them things beyond their wildest dreams. God calls mankind to enjoy what is really beyond my ability to describe. But I have, however, using the Bible, tried to this morning give us some idea about God's calling. And let's say, for the sake of argument, that most who are here are interested in what's been described. They, as they hear about what God calls people to, say, "Hey, those things, you know, hope and all the eternal glory, those things are of interest to me. I want to know a little bit more." Well, let's study now God's calling in some more detail. We might consider how this calling works. That is, how is a person called to God? If we want to be called, if we want to have him, you know, have our number, shall we say, how does it work? We must also inquire about any duties which are required after accepting the call. And these questions are answered by some additional references. If you want the passages, here they are. We'll start with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And also from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And these will be given again as we go through this section. The first passage to be looked at is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. This passage is extremely helpful because it tells us how God calls people. It's one thing to say that God calls people. It's one thing to know that. But the question becomes, how does the process work? The Bible explains. Paul told, or reminded rather, the Thessalonians how it worked for them. Whereunto he called you, that was the process, he says, and it worked through the gospel. At the present time, we hear claims about how someone has been called by God. Just this morning, I was slipping through the TV channel. Sometimes I do that for a little while, 5 or 10 minutes on Sunday morning. And I was listening to one woman tell her story. She was trying to describe how God called her. She was searching for God, looking for the way that was right, and she said she had a dream. She was buried underwater for a year, and God called her, you know, sent Jesus to rescue her. And she was convinced that that was actually how the process works. That's not what we find in the New Testament. We do find that God calls people. Several passages, and I listed a number of these already, show that God calls people. He's been calling people for a long time. But it is not true that God calls people in the way that people now frequently describe or claim. He has given us the gospel. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, that he calls us through this word. And this is why Jesus was able to say in Mark 16, verse 15 to his people, you go into all the world and you teach them the gospel. You take my word and you present that to people. Why do that, Lord? We do that. The Great Commission is necessary because God calls people through the book that we know as the New Testament. God's calling through the gospel is part of the reason that we are preparing for a campaign this fall. And we need to better issue the call of the gospel to the people in this community. If God calls people in a way other than his word, a fair question to ask is, of what value is the Bible? Another question which is of interest and of value in asking, if you get a call that's different from the word, then God becomes a respecter of persons because he gives something to you that he's not giving to me. And that becomes problematic because the Bible says in a number of places, one of which is Acts 10, that God is not a respecter of persons. How he treats you is how he's going to treat me. If he calls me through his word and he calls you through a dream, a vision, a special voice, or something else, he has not treated us equally, and he's violated what the New Testament says. God's call comes through the sacred pages of Scripture, and it is very specific. That is, there are some promises to be received. When God calls us, he calls us to enjoy the things that I mentioned and some things that I did not. And he also calls us to a particular commitment. There are some things which he requires of us when he makes the call. Another reference that I gave you comes from the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I want to read this as well. Paul, in talking about some of the duties that Christians have, said, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. He uses the word call twice in this particular verse, and he says, because you've been called by God, you need to live in a way which is consistent with his word. He's called you through this word, and now you need to abide by it. And this is quite similar to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, another passage which uses this word call. Paul there said, we've been called to a life of sanctification and not to a life of uncleanness. That is, we have been called to live in a way which is consistent with God's word and inconsistent with the ways of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9, another passage I cited, goes on to say that we have received a holy calling. That is to say, we need to live in a particular way. We need to live in a way which pleases God, a way which is consistent with his character. God's people are definitely called. And when we understand what this means, it becomes very, very attractive. We hear quite often people toss around the word church. Oh, that's a nice church, talking about the building or perhaps something else. But it may be of interest for you to know that the word which is the basis for our English word church is actually composed of two different words. And as you break these words down, you find that the word which is translated church begins with a preposition which means out. The second half of the word comes from a term which means called. The word church literally means the called out. It means that we've been called from the world and called into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And this is an important term because at different times people tell us, well, I don't need the church. Folks, if we are not part of the church, we're not listening to God's call. Because the church is composed of the people who have been called by God. We've been called out of one area, that is the world, and we've been called into Christ's spiritual body. And that calling is necessary if we're going to walk worthily, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. That call is necessary if we're going to enjoy all the spiritual blessings that have been listed this morning. And yet sometimes people, perhaps carelessly, perhaps thoughtlessly, perhaps in ignorance, say, well, I don't need the church. They're saying that they don't need to be called by God. If we're not part of the church, if we're not a faithful member of Christ's body, we're not listening to God's call, because this is where the call brings us. And if we're not listening to God's call, it must be the case that we're listening to someone else. If the New Testament is right, there are only two spiritual forces which call people. One is God, and the other is Satan. If we're not listening to the call from God through his word, and we're not heeding that call, then the other force, which calls people in different ways, the devil and his kingdom, is the force that people are hearing and obeying. The Christians who are active members of the church have heard God's call. They've obeyed it, and they continue to obey it to the best of their ability each day that they live. Those who are not faithful Christians need to listen to the call of God. Where are we at? God continues to call people through his word. Have we heard that call, heeded that call, and doing our best to continue to obey it? Are we someone who, as that call continues to be spread, is resistant? Someone whose heart, Jesus says, has been hardened for whatever reason. Someone who is not receptive to the Word of God. Or are we someone who is in a third state? Someone who is willing to receive the call, but we're not quite sure how to proceed. We're interested, but we need some additional information. We're going to sing the song, thanks to Jeff's Changing Things, about God calling the prodigal. And that's a good biblical song for this morning. God is still calling. He's calling through His Word. And the question that we must answer is, if I've not responded in the past, or if I've not responded in the way that God wants, will I respond now? How long will God call and we will not obey? Remember again from the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, today, if you will hear His voice, if you'll hear the call from God in His Word, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Let that Word enter into the heart just as it did on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says the people were pricked in their hearts. They believed. They accepted the call of God through the gospel message. And that same call is going off this morning. If you're not a Christian, if you are a Christian and you're not in the right relationship with God, God is calling you as passionately and as urgently as He ever will. And He's doing it within the pages of His Word. If we can help you respond to that call in any way, we invite you to let us assist you in a public way, if you're willing to do that, or in a private way, if you'd like to deal with matters one-on-one after the service. If the call of God is subject to you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.